Welcome to the Ultimate Plot Twist podcast, where each time we meet, you'll hear stories from ordinary people like me and you who have found huge blessings from the most unexpected places. Hi, I'm your host, Jen Barger. I'm a wife and a mom to two amazing kids, one of which just happens to have Down syndrome. And when we were handed this challenging and yet quite rewarding plot twist, it was the stories, the people, the recommendations from others that has helped us the most. I can't wait to learn more from these amazing people together and hope that you too walk away feeling a little more encouraged, a little more equipped, and feeling much less alone. Let's get to it. Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Ultimate Plot Twist. I'm so excited for you to meet my dear friend, Nicole, today. And Nicole and I have been friends over the internet now for quite some time. It's amazing how these internet friendships can turn into something really cool. But when we were talking a little bit about stories and about our lives, Nicole said, hey, I might have something that your audience needs to hear. So, Nicole, thank you so much for being here. So let's get started first. So Nicole is an internet blogger. She's been doing it now for over 2 years. How did you get started in that space?
Well, the pandemic, just like a lot of people took that shift during the pandemic. My background is actually in speech language pathology. So I worked with adults in the acute care setting and inpatient rehab, predominantly with stroke patients and traumatic brain injured. And so right before the pandemic hit, we moved to Colorado from the Detroit area. And when we first moved, I was just worried about getting my family settled and our house was under renovation. And then a couple of months in, I realized, okay, it's time for me to go back to work. And I started to get my Colorado license. And lo and behold, you know, COVID took over the world. And my husband's in healthcare. He's a general surgeon. And so he works in hospitals, obviously. And so he's like, I don't think we should both be in hospitals right now. Why don't you just wait a little bit? And then that little bit turned into a lot of bit. And so I took my passion and kind of created a space with my website, Touch of Stats.
Oh, it's a beautiful space, guys. So I will link her website down below, as well as you can follow her on all the socials. We'll have all the ways for you to get to her. Nicole, you're one of the most authentic people I know on the internet. Like, you're always just kind of laying it out there. And I love that about you. And it's cool because we didn't even talk about that. But even that in itself was a plot twist in your life, right? Like, here you are, internet blogger. You never expected that to happen. Yeah. But yeah, exactly. That's amazing, though. I love that part. So you're a wife and a mom. How many kids do you have?
We have three boys. They are 13, 12, and 9.
Did you guys always know you wanted to have children?
Yes, we always knew we wanted to have children. My husband always wanted three because he came from a family of three. And I was on the fence. I thought two was a good, you know, even number. But, you know, I think working in healthcare, you just see the value in like, I saw the value in like big families and being there. And, and we both come from large families. I just didn't know if I could, mentally handle it, but here I am.
No, I get that.
I am. Yeah.
I know that this next part of the story, I want to make sure and tell our audience too, is something that you haven't necessarily openly shared in the internet space. And so I just want to first say thank you for that. And so just thank you for being vulnerable and wanting to share this with the world. But so you've kind of opened up to me. So your boys sound amazing. I love that they come into such a loving home. I stalk you on the internet. So I know you and your husband have a sweet little relationship. It's really sweet. So tell me a little bit about when you first noticed that maybe one of your boys might need a little extra help.
Sure. Yes. Actually, I think my background in speech pathology kind of gave me a heads up on it. So when my oldest was about 15 months, I noticed he was very motor driven, had a very hard time sitting still. And then some of his milestones in terms of speech and language seemed delayed. He wasn't repeating sounds. And so I knew that that was a marker for something else. Around 18 months, I had him evaluated and we started speech therapy.
your gut was going off, right? Like mm-hmm. your mommy gut said, this doesn't feel right. And then backing right. it with your background. I think it's so interesting though, how young, because you're right. You know, boys, it does get written off, mm-hmm. you know, oh man, he's such a typical boy. If I've heard that once, I've heard it a million times just because of his rambunctiousness and stuff. But I love that you didn't ignore both your intuition, your gut, and you just leaned into it. That's really amazing. And really a highlight, I think, of what you're sharing. Your second son comes along mm-hmm. and you shared with me a little bit there too. Like, mm-hmm. so there were some markers in there too, that maybe triggered you to think that, that there might be a similar path.
Well, my second son, who also has ADHD, presented completely different. I didn't notice right away with my second one. And when he was about 3 years old, I mean, he was just the kid that sat there and played by himself. 4 hours, almost sometimes didn't even want other people to play with him because it wasn't his way. Looking back in hindsight, that would have been my first marker. Just the extreme hyper-focus on only activities that he enjoyed. With like the
so you're
alphabet.
Teaching me
like
something I, there. I didn't know oh. that to be a mark, like that it presented that way in terms of the hyper-focus piece of, yeah, that's very interesting. Yeah. yeah. Because yeah. the description of your first son, I think, is what people would lean into more mm-hmm. to have that intuition. But this is a different lane. Yeah. Yeah. Very different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hyper focus was definitely like his marker. But as he got older, his emotions got bigger. And then there was like a social piece. I noticed in all three of my kids, the social piece started around second grade. My second, who, is like really calm and just has an even demeanor, was starting to have issues at school with like, you know, being aggressive with kids, like kind of yelling at them or pushing them in line. And he was just unable to self-regulate. Mm. And that's another indicator of ADHD.
So, and your youngest presented as well around the same time frame or no?
I would say I started noticing around three. So my youngest, he's actually like a combination of the two. If he's dysregulated, he will, it's just all encompassing. It's his whole, it's physically, emotionally, he just spirals. And so it's hard to watch and it's hard to deal with in public. Like that's really hard because kids with ADHD get a bad rap because I don't think people can tell when there's like a invisible, you know, diagnosis and like to be patient. Like you're just like, well, you know, and you don't, and sometimes when you say it, it sounds like an excuse, you know, but there's a lot, you don't know what you don't know. And what I can do best for the close circle people in my life is just explain it.
I love that. And that's why we wanted you here. Yeah. I think it is important for people to understand ADHD. So tell me what's been the most surprising learning for you. I like how you described it as a silent diagnosis, because I often, again, paralleling it to my son with his little almond eyes and flat nose, I often tell people like, it's hard for me that he has such an obvious mark, but it's interesting when you talk about the disadvantages of a silent diagnosis. Can you unpack that a little bit? Like, what have you learned about that?
Well, I learned that people are very impatient with your rambunctious child, that you are struggling so hard to help keep an emotional, behavioral, like even tone. And it's hard. It's really hard. And especially when you're out and you have all three and their dynamics are so different, you know, they play off each other, they aggravate each other. And it's almost like the smallest little irritation that might bother, let's say you or me, you could just brush it off. But a child with ADHD, it can just rock their world. And, and then when you're trying to calm one down, the other one is still spinning. So
for the friends that are in your life, or let's say If you know, if someone, if you have someone in your circle and they tell you my kids struggle with ADHD, what is the number one thing you would tell that friend or family member to best support that friend? Like, what's your advice on how they can show up well and support their people whenever they know they're walking through something like that?
Well, I get this a lot with teachers, more so than family members, because you know, they're in there managing a whole group of kids and they just, you know, they don't know what to do. So I would have to say is just removing the child. If you're in a situation where you can, getting down to eye level and saying, I hear you. I see that you're having a hard time. How can I help you?
Giving them a voice is what I'm hearing you say. Yeah. Like, make sure you give them an opportunity to voice what they need in that moment, right? Like, don't just dismiss it or ignore it, but, you know, acknowledge it, acknowledge them. Yeah. How about for the, how about like, if I were to love on you, Nicole, or to be there for you, how could I do that in a way to support you in your journey that would be impactful other than obvious patience and listening? Cause clearly people are not, I hate what you said about, I mean, I hate it, but it's so true how people can think it's an excuse. That drives me crazy.
Yeah.
So clearly, you know, not doing that, but is there another, is there other words of wisdom you would have on how to friend the mom who has a child with ADHD?
I think part of what comes with it is a little bit of isolation. So
I get
a lot,
that.
Yeah. A lot of times it's hard for my children to oftentimes socially be appropriate or make close friends in school. And this often presents in my kids is that they seem angry. Like that's how they present themselves. And so other kids don't want to deal with that. But I just think being inclusive, you know? I mean, I'm a very social person. I have always had like a large friend group. I love my ladies. But it is hard to bring my kids around certain things. So
can you talk to me a little bit about the support and what has been a surprise or maybe even something that you want to make sure other parents know is available to them?
Yeah. So my biggest surprise was not all schools are created equal in their support systems.
Amen to that.
And yes. We have moved around quite a bit these last couple of years from, you know, leaving Michigan. We found a place in a city that just wasn't a good fit. So we left 3 years later. So my kids have been through a couple of different special ed teams. It's really surprising the level, like it's just not an equal playing field. And what I know is what is like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like legally what they're held responsible for, you know,
their legal obligations.
Yes. And it's almost like, if you don't know, like you don't know what you don't know, but I literally had a conversation with someone at the school today. And I said, I reached out to you in February. I thought this was an ongoing process. And I said, I'm just learning today. Cause she's like, well, we can't do it cause the school's. I said, but here's my email. And she's like, I'm so sorry. I dropped the ball. She goes, but we've been doing X, Y, and Z to work with your son. I said, I understand. I said, but you're telling me this. And I said, but it's not documented, you know? And so, and there's nothing in place to support this kid in his next year. So we have to start this process all over again. And so what I think it's good for parents to know is that if you have an official diagnosis, you have the right to an IEP without going through certain steps, and you can, and I don't want to discredit the schools because they are helping.
No,
there's a lot of paperwork to be done. And I noticed at some schools, they just don't want us, you know, let's do this. You know, we'll try these things in the classroom. We'll see how they work. If that's not sitting well with you, you just go straight to, you know, I want an evaluation for my son. And you have every right to do that. And they cannot, they cannot turn you away.
No, I love that. I, one of the things we learned very on is to get, early on is to get yourself educated, right? And not because people don't want, I firmly believe in my heart, Nicole, that most of the people we've come into contact with truly do want the best, but they are a bit, handcuffed to the, either the resources they have available to them or just, you know, what's happening around them. But it was shocking to me how, there have been times had I not known what I could ask or what I could, it wouldn't have been just openly told to me. Right. So, I think that's great, great wisdom. I want to know what's made you nervous about sharing this, because I will tell you, hearing your heart, I mean, man, Nicole, you've done some amazing things to support and advocate for your kids, and they are so blessed to have you in their corner. I also hear the struggle in your story and just want to tell you, you know, I want to make sure you know you're seen, and I love that. And more importantly, I just want to make sure you know that, you're doing a heck of an amazing job. I mean, you know, everything you said around the isolation and I feel all those things in my bones. I get it. But I, the fact that you've pushed through and you stay who you are is pretty amazing. So I, I'm really glad that you've shared so openly today about these things. Cause I think a lot of moms specifically need to hear that it can be presented early and to not ignore, and it's okay, you know, to kind of try to figure that out. So what are you the most proud of in your boys? Do you mind sharing what you love the most about them?
Oh yes. Yes. They're all so special and I love them all. I would have to say with my oldest, his compassion and empathy is nothing like I've seen. And I feel terrible about this, but obviously I see it now, but when he was younger, it was very hard for me to see. And he still hugs me and holds my hand sometimes, but he's really sweet. So future wife, you're welcome. My middle one is very funny and witty, and he just can like work a room, even though he's like so introverted. Like you put him in a room and it's like, he knows the assignment. Like he knows
that's awesome
how to talk to people. He's and the baby. Great. Oh, the baby.
Yeah, the baby.
Like, he's just a little lover. And talk about a 9-year-old that has a sense of humor of like a 25-year-old. Like he just, sometimes his inappropriate jokes are so funny. and I have to leave the room. Like it's,
that's so great.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, he's a character.
Clearly this was a plot twist in your life, right? Like we didn't expect this to happen. You're starting off on your parenting journey and all of a sudden all of this starts coming your way. So tell me, how has this changed you? What have you learned? Like, how has this changed you as a person, a mom, you know, just as an individual, Nicole?
It has made me a more understanding and accepting person. I think that I was before, for sure. You know, but having kids of my own and knowing that things aren't always what they seem, you know,
Yeah.
You know, and somebody may look at this podcast and has seen me on Touch of Staff and like, oh my God, really? Like, I mean, I struggle every day with my kids. There's not a day that doesn't go by where it is not hard, you know? I feel like I can come from a different perspective and angle. And even like for other humans in the world, you know, you just a different level of understanding.
I love that this small or big or whatever crazy event of learning a diagnosis for your children, not only has it helped you into the areas that you've talked about, but also truly helped push you into that place of being a different kind of mom that maybe you wouldn't have been, right? Because you didn't, you didn't have to be. So I love that, Nicole. That's really, really special. Okay. Well, I really do appreciate that you've taken the time to talk with me today. I'm so excited for this audience to get to know you better. If they want to reach you, what's the best place that they can find you if they want to talk to you one-on-one about anything you shared?
I am on Instagram at Touch of Stas. I am also, you can find my website, touchofstas.com. I know there's a place for you to inquire. It goes straight to my inbox. You can find me at info@touchofstas.com. If you want to send me a private email, I'm more than happy to talk to anybody about this ADHD, dealing with anxiety with kids, and fashion. So,
yes. You have quite the space. I love it. Thank you again. I really do appreciate
Thanks
your time.
For having me.